There's a lot of things going on our mind, and I said it, I'll say it again. If we just turn off all these information things, just see what's going on around us and the people we know and things like that, I believe we'd live a lot calmer, and I think the people in charge know that too. But let's get our mind on the Lord today, okay? Let's just quiet down, lay all that other stuff to the side. You're well, you're here. Nobody's burning your house down. They're not protesting your front yard. Just right here. Let's get our mind on the Lord, okay, and think about Him. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. This is the most important book in town right now. If the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, which it is, then that's the most important thing going on right now. This is more important than the latest news broadcast.
That's right.
By the way, this was broadcast before that broadcaster made his today. Amen. And the one that wrote this book is still in control.
Amen.
He ain't dead. He doesn't even sleepeth. Amen. He's alive and well.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. He knows exactly what's going on. Now, I started a few weeks ago on a series of the forgotten doctrine of the Bible, which is hell. You don't hear much about that anymore. Now, when I was growing up, boy, they were sure to tell me I was headed straight there. Every week I heard somebody say, boy, if you don't straighten up, you're going straight to hell. And some of them told me to go. But I'll tell you one thing, you don't hear much about it anymore. And I'm afraid we've lost the fear of God. We've lost the fear of God. And so today I want to talk to you about, just for a few minutes, on what are the wicked in hell doing right now. What are the wicked in hell doing? If you will, turn to Isaiah chapter 5, and I'm going to read a few scriptures, and I'm just going to read and holler today, okay? I'm just going to read and holler. I got no doctrinal thesis or anything like that. I just want to help you. Now, if I can't help you, I wasted my time and yours too. So we're going to need the Lord's help. The devil doesn't like this subject. Now, you know, did you know the devil doesn't care if I preach on heaven? He doesn't. Because most people assume they're going there anyway.
Wow.
Even those who are not going assume they will go. They figure in the end that something's going to happen. They're going to squeeze right in there at the last minute. Is that not right?
Yeah.
And some of them just think they were born to go to heaven. They're going to heaven anyway. So the devil wouldn't care if I preached on heaven, but he doesn't want me to preach this today. All right, this will expose some things. So I ask you prayerfully to listen, okay? And I ask these watching, maybe you stayed home today because you read the headlines. The devil wrote those headlines. Listen, you listen real close, okay? But if we can, turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Let's start with verse 14. Isaiah, well, let's start with 13, give a little more meaning. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. It's so big you can't measure. And their glory, who? Those that said to have knowledge and those that claim to be in leadership and things like that and other wicked people. And their multitude and their pomp and he that rejoices shall descend into it. Amen. Tonight I'll begin a series on, well, I started weeks ago and got off of it, but I'm going to continue a series of sermons on the book of Proverbs. The book of wisdom, it's called. And I want you to come. And I'm going to tell you something too. If we could read children the book of Proverbs, those that are old enough to understand it, it would be better than a college education. So come back, bring kids with you. They'll like it. And then I want you right now to turn to Isaiah 14:9. He said, listen, there are so many going to hell that hell hath enlarged herself. Now, if hell is in the center of the earth, I believe it is because the Bible says so, and the Bible's true no matter whether I believe it or not, but hell is in the heart of the earth, and we know even from science that the heart of the earth is molten rock, melted rock and heat and gas and fire, and we know that. They didn't know that back then. They didn't have science. How did they know hell was in the heart of the earth? Because the Bible says so. And here it says that Bible enlarges itself. The Bible says hell enlarges itself. And what that means, it's getting bigger because more people are going to hell. More people are going to hell. Now, right now there's over 6 billion people live on planet Earth. And every 12 seconds somebody dies. Every 12 seconds somebody dies on planet Earth. If you stretched all the deaths out, you know, I know there's hundreds die at one time, but if you stretch it all out, it would come out about one every 12 seconds. So hell has to get larger. You ever thought about this? Since it's the heart of the earth, it's molten rock, it's lava, it is gas and fire and heat. Have you ever thought about why it would have to expand? Because more people go there. Did you ever think about what happens when it expands? You ever heard of volcanoes? You ever heard of earthquakes? You ever heard of hot geysers and old places like Old Faithful and things? That's the heat escaping from the heart of the earth because hell has enlarged itself. In chapter 14, verse 9 says, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth, those in high places. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and all they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, politician. Amen. And the noise of thy vows, and the worm is spread under thee, and worms cover thee. Now, hell is a real place, and people don't want to think about it. We don't like to talk about it because we don't really want anybody that we know and love to go to hell. Look at Isaiah 28 in verse 15. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Skip down to verse 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. He's saying these people say, I got a deal with the devil. You ever heard people say stupid stuff like, well, when I go to hell, we're going to party.
Oh, yeah.
There ain't no parties in hell. I got news for you. And what they're saying is we made a deal with the devil. And there's some people that really do that. They make a pact. They think they do. They think they're making we grew up in the 60s and 70s. We remember hearing of heavy metal bands that made deals with the devil, you know, and things like that. And, boy, they really believe that. But here God says, your covenant, your deal with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge, when God comes back and judges the earth, that scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. In other words, we don't care who God says, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your title is, what kind of deal you've got with the devil or hell, when I come through, it will not stand. You're going to die and go to hell. You say, preacher, that's me. No, that's truth. I'd rather a man stop me at a bridge that's out than to let me go on off the bridge saying, well, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. Hey, man. Boy, whenever your kids go to play in the traffic, you just sit there and watch them play in the traffic? No, you don't. You can run out there with a switch and say, get out of this road. I'm going to whip you if you don't stay out of the road because you love them. Amen. Well, why do you want to get mad at the preacher because he preaches on hell? Amen. There's several things about hell that we remember from Luke chapter 16, past couple of weeks. In verse 23, it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Did you know that though there are those in hell who are looking out of hell, and they can see those in heaven, they can see those up here right now, and they're looking at us, and they're down there being punished and crying and tormented, and they're looking, and because they're looking, it says in verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in lifetimes you received good gifts. Because they can see, they can remember what was going on earth when they were here and how they had the opportunity to be saved, and they refused the grace of God, and they turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and they died and went to hell. Now they're looking at us, and they're in torments in verse 24. He says, I'm tormented in these flames. And they're, look, that ain't all. They're praying for those up here. He says, send Lazarus. Raise Lazarus from the dead and send him to my father's house that he might go tell my brethren. He said, for I've got five brothers, and tell them not to come to this place. Well, it's kind of late to be preaching when you're in hell, ain't it? But then I want to spend a little longer time on this. Ecclesiastes 9:3, don't turn there, just listen, says that this is an evil among all things that are under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and the madness is in their heart while they live, and after they go to the dead. Did you know people in hell are mad? You can go down to hell, you say, I'm going to look up my friends. If you found them, you wouldn't like what you found, because they'd be mad. They're mad. Hey, you think this crowd out here burning and tearing things up and hurting people. And don't tell me you're protesting for justice and peace when you jump on people and beat them up and burn their businesses down and all that. And let me tell you something. You're mad. There's something wrong with you. You're mad. And you're just taking it out on everybody else. And let me tell you this. When you die and go to hell, you'll still be mad.
That's right.
And look, that word mad means out of control. Your mind is out of control. I used to run with guys that did all kind of drugs, and after a while they'd go mad. They'd just go mad. We used to know a little girl when she grew up and became a teenager. She followed rock bands around and became one of those, I think they call them roadies or something, you know, and got into all kinds of drugs and took so much acid she blew her mind. She blew her mind. And after that, she'd come to church and she'd tell me, preacher, I've been talking to angels. And she said, let me tell you what they told me, preacher. She was mad. She'd gone mad. And people that die and go to hell don't go down there and have a vacation. They go mad at the things they see and what they hear and what they experience. It'll drive a man mad. They tell me, I don't know, but they tell me that burning is the most painful death you'll ever experience. Can you imagine burning up and you just, you do anything to get put out, and you do anything to put the fire out, and you go mad with the pain and screaming and hollering. This preacher told this story. He said that he used to be a truck driver, and said that's back in the 40s and 50s. He was an old truck driver, and said they'd go through this mountain pass going out to California. You barely could get a car through it. And said this young boy said they had this, they'd have what they call convoys of trucks going through those hills, you know, delivering stuff to California. And said this one young guy, he just started driving, said he thought he was supposed to pass everybody on the road, so he'd go around those hills passing those big trucks, you know. And he said, I saw it, and I said, he's going to die. The boy's going to get killed. And he said, way up the road, around a sharp curve, sure enough, he then went off to the side, and he was way down there at the bottom. And he said, we all stopped our trucks and got out and run down there, and said the boy was pinned between his seat and the dash, and he was screaming and hollering and crying, help me, get me out of here. And somebody said, I smell gas. And he said, about that time, the thing just went up in flames. And he said, we couldn't even get to him anymore. And said, while he was dying in that truck, he was screaming and hollering, help me, me, somebody help me, help me. And he said after a while he was saying, somebody shoot me, just shoot me, I gotta die, I can't, help me. And so he screamed that till his last breath. And he said, what was so sad, boy, wasn't a Christian. He said, so I could imagine him waking up in hell still screaming, help me, somebody help me, and through all eternities out of his mind screaming in pain and horror. They're mad. They're out of their mind in hell. I don't want to go to hell. There's enough mad people around here. People are mad. They're out of their mind. They're fussing. They're cussing. They're destroying. They're hurting people. They don't even like each other. They're mad. And sin has driven them mad, and guilt has driven them mad. Drugs, alcohol, driven them mad. All these things in their mind, and now they've lost their mind, and they're living on earth mad. But when they die and go to hell, we'll go to a funeral home, and we'll see them in a casket, and we'll say they finally look like they got some rest. They're not resting. They're in a place that's full of madness and pain and suffering, and nobody wants to go there. And yet we'll look at that body and say, he's all right now. He's not all right. He just got started for eternity. I hate to preach those kind of funerals. I don't mention that person because I get a picture of them in their mind. Before I preach a funeral, I try to talk to the family and I'll try to get some ideas if I didn't know the person. A lot of those I've done, but boy, I try to think the kind of person they were, you know, did they love their kids? Did they treat their wife good? Did they do their job? All this stuff. And I try to get a picture of them. But these kind of people that lived a maddening life and just crazy like, you know, I'm not talking about mental illness. I'm talking about what sin does to us. It drives us crazy. What was that old saying we used to hear so much? Sin will take you farther than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay and cost you more than you want to pay. It's maddening. It's maddening. It drives people crazy. And just think of all the people in hell right now that are out of their mind screaming and hollering. And by the way, it's total blackness. They don't even see each other. If they could see each other, think what they would do to each other. You know, the worst person to try to save is somebody that's drowning. I pulled a boy out of the water one time when I was a teenager. He almost killed me before I got him out of the water. And can you imagine how people in hell would do to you if you were in hell with them and you go over there and try to talk to them, give them a little comfort. They're mad. They'll hurt you. And I think it's terrible to live a mad life and wake up in an eternally mad hell. We done softened this stuff up long enough, folks. We done tiptoed around long enough. Our loved ones, our friends, the people that we know and love die and go to hell, and we need to stop it. We need to stop it and stop wishing people to go to heaven and start introducing them to a Savior that will take them to heaven. And if He doesn't take them, He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And if they don't get saved through Him, they won't be saved, and they'll wake up in this mad place called hell. And they'll remember their past, and they'll remember you never told them.
Right.
And they'll look across the gulfs of eternity, and they'll see you in heaven. Guess what? They're not going to love you a whole lot when they see you over in heaven, and they're burning in hell because you forgot to tell them it's a mad place. Then Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. One day, the trumpet's going to sound. I'm talking about after the rapture, after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, and Satan's loosed again, and he turns mankind against Jesus Christ again. And the Bible says one day that the heavens will be rolled back like a scroll, and the earth will melt with a fervent heat, and all human beings that have ever existed will stand out in eternity in nothing, just standing out eternity before a great white throne and God sitting on that throne, a thrice holy God. The Bible says He's holy, 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 and that's all they sing in heaven. He's holy, 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 and we're going to stand, they're going to stand before Him. Those who did not know Jesus Christ, those who accepted Christ will be behind the throne, already saved, already in heaven, and that crowd that refused Him, they're going to be judged. And it says here, those that were in hell will be taken out of hell. Hell will be rolled back and they'll stand before that great white throne and they'll be judged how much to be punished or not be punished in that great lake of fire. And the Bible says it'll all be cast into the lake of fire. You know what people in hell are doing besides remembering, besides looking, and besides praying, and besides being in torments? And did you know that right now they're talking to each other? Ezekiel 32:21 says, "The strong among the might shall speak to him out of the midst of hell." Wonder what they're saying. Wonder what they're saying. I tell you what some of them saying. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And they're not saying it. They're screaming and hollering and crying. I don't understand. She said she loved me. She never warned me about this. I don't understand it. He said He loved me and He cared about me. And He never told me about this place. I don't understand it. He was supposed to be my daddy and He was supposed to leave me, right? And He's in heaven and I'm in hell. I don't understand it. He said He was my grandpa, and He said He was a Christian, but He never warned me about this place. I don't understand it. That preacher, he wore a robe, he had a collar on, but he never mentioned anything like this. I was too worried with the politics. I was too worried about making a living, and I never thought about the end. And they're just waiting on, the last judgment. You say, well, they're already in hell. Well, the Bible says that they can't go to heaven. If the Bible says that there's no sin in heaven, so to let sin into heaven would ruin it and turn it into hell.
That's right.
It's what ruined earth.
Right.
You say, well, God's not just. God would not be just to let His Son die on the cross in sinner's place and then a sinner deny Christ and say, I don't need that. He's calling God a liar. And God would not be just to let a liar into heaven. Well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, you're the first one because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one.
Amen.
They're just waiting for the judgment. By the way, once you wake up in hell, you won't have those excuses anymore.
Yeah.
You'll say, I knew I was lying when I said that. I knew I made that up when I said that. I knew Jesus was Lord. I knew He was the Savior. I knew I should have got saved, but I didn't do it. I put it off. I thought I'd get one more day, one more drink, one more pill, one more man, one more woman, one more sin, or I was going to wait till I got too old to do any of that stuff anymore. Then I'd get in. I knew it the truth, and I called God a liar, and here I am in hell because I refused what He sent me. They're saying, I knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, they're talking to one another. They're saying, I knew that. I knew that verse. They taught me that in vacation Bible school. I heard that in Sunday school, but I never thought that I wouldn't be one of them. Because I did not call, I did not turn to the Savior. They're just waiting to be cast into the lake of fire. And by the way, God's a just God. You hear all this justice stuff now. And by the way, most people hollering justice don't want justice and they don't give it either.
Amen.
I don't want justice. I don't want what I deserve. And if you want that, you're a fool.
Amen.
Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. And we've all failed God. And we've all failed one another. And we always will, because we're cursed by sin. We're children of Adam. And I don't want what I deserve. I don't want justice. I want mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. Let me tell you something. Grace means undeserved. Undeserved favor. I want grace. I want mercy. And they're waiting. And they're going to be resurrected. And God, they're going to say, but God, wait a minute, I went to church. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Somebody's going to say, wait a minute, preacher, I was a good mother. Yeah, but you never received my son. Depart from me, I never knew you. Wait a minute, I was a good dad, went to work every day. Yeah, but depart from me, I never knew you. You refused the salvation I sent you. Somebody's got to pay for that sin, and you wouldn't let my son pay for it. God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, hey, listen, you refused the love I sent to you, so you can't come to heaven, because you would be the only one to do that, and that wouldn't be just, would it?
Nope.
I know this sermon makes you uncomfortable. Every once in a while we need something to make us uncomfortable. You know what we need to do? We need to get a picture in our mind of our children in hell. We need to get a picture in our mind of our parents in hell. Our wife, our husband. Come on, help me. Is that not the truth? Just because we ignore it does not make it any less real.
That's right.
There's a virus going around. I believe there's a virus. I can ignore it. Doesn't make it any less a virus. I'm pretty sure that I'm healthy enough to resist it. But I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to stay clean. I'm going to stay away from people that's sick. I'm not going to hug you. I'm not even going to shake your hand. I'll go. Oh, you go. Amen. Because I'm not a fool. There's really a virus. I don't want it. I used to get the flu every year, at least once a year, sometimes twice a year, and it put me in bed. Sometimes I'd pray to die. I'm serious. For y'all young people who ain't never had the flu, you don't know. A lot of people used to die, and they still do every year, from 50,000 to 100,000 people a year die in America from the flu. And when they come out with that shot, I praise God, went and got me a shot, and I got one ever since, and I've not had the flu. But one time, when I didn't get the shot, I got the flu, got put in the bed, and I said, God, if you'll let me live through this time, I'll get the shot. I'm not a fool. Ignoring it does not make it go away. Now, I'm not going to let it rule my life. I'm going to live. And by the grace of God, I'll keep on living. And if God lets me get sick, I'll say hallelujah anyhow. If I die, I'll go to heaven. I know I'll say hallelujah anyhow then.
That's right.
But I'm going to be careful. And it's the same way with hell. Just because the church is ignoring the subject of hell, just because the church wants to have the biggest building and the loudest sound system and the prettiest paid singers and the prettiest paid staff and all this stuff and have a good name in the neighborhood, that does not negate hell one bit. There's a church right here in town. The pastor years ago, right here in town. I ain't going to tell you the name of it. It was on Main Street. You can figure that out. But the church, three or four times, a young pastor preached on hell. A good sized church. A young pastor preached on hell three Sundays in a row. And the deacons came to him and said, son, if you preach on hell anymore, we're going to fire you. We're going to have to start reviewing your sermons before you preach them. Well, that'd be hard to do on mine. I don't have no what I'm going to say when I get here. Shoot from the hip. That next Sunday, he did not turn in his sermon. He walked up in the pulpit with an envelope and assumed it was his sermon that he forgot to give him. And he preached on hell. And at the end of the message, the chairman of the deacons and one of the other deacons walked up on the platform, escorted him off, and said, "You're fired." He said, "No, I'm not. Here is my resignation." He said, "I'm not preaching in a church that don't want to talk about hell." Now, we can ignore it. It's not going to make it cooler. It's not going to make it shorter. It's not going to make it less important. Hell is the reason I got saved, to stay out of hell. I didn't get saved to make friends and influence people. I got saved to stay out of hell. Everybody I know got saved to stay out of hell. You say, "Preacher, that's mean." No, it's scary, and you want to call it mean. I didn't make this up. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their words, to be cast into the lake of fire." Now, the reason our homes, our churches, our nations are all being destroyed is because the second most important doctrine in the Bible is being ignored. Look at me. I'm through. Every one of us has drawn lines in our life. We've drawn lines. "I will not pass this. I will not go in. I won't do it. I won't. I'll never." Every one of us has done it. Is this working? Every one of us has done it. We've drawn lines and said, "I won't do that because I know if I ever do that, that's the end for me. I won't do that. I won't do that." We've all done that. Sinners do that. I did it as a sinner. I said, "I will not do drugs because I know what I am. And I know if I get involved in drugs, I'm going to die because I'm a fanatic. I'm a fanatic about everything I do. And I know if I, all it takes is one LSD, one marijuana, one coke, whatever, crack." They didn't have crack back then. But I knew. I just drew a line. I said, "If I lose friends, I'll just lose friends. I will not do that. I will not do that because I know when I do that, I'm as good as a dead man. I know I will be." And I watched my friends. And I watched them, and I rode around with them. And I watched people get killed, and I watched people die, and I watched things happen. And I thought, I wasn't a Christian, but I thought, "Thank God, that ain't me. Thank God, that ain't me." Now listen to me. We need to draw some lines in our Christian life and say, "Look, I'm not going any farther than that. I'm not going any farther than this. I'm not going any farther than that." But also need to draw some lines and say, "I will not back down from this."
That's right.
"I will not change on this. I will not give up. I will not give in. I will not compromise. I will not apologize. I'm drawing a line, and if you don't like hearing about hell, you might not want to be around me because I love you enough to risk losing you by telling you the truth." You know what I can't stand? Sometimes I'll minister to people that's got terrible health problems. Terrible. And I'll go in, you know, and like my brother Bill. I had a brother, my oldest brother named Bill. He was 19 years older than me. And I went in, and Bill was kind of simple-minded. And Bill couldn't even read or write. He got out of school in second, third grade, became a painter with his drunken daddy, and became a drunkard. And but Bill got saved later on. At 55 years old, he got saved. And but Bill became a good Christian, but he got cancer. He got cancer. And Bill called me, and I went up there, and I said, "Bill, what'd they say?" He said, "Doctor told me we're gonna beat it. We're gonna beat it." I said, "What did he say? What's your chances?" He said, "I don't know. Doctor said we're gonna beat it." I said, "Boy, I need to talk to this doctor." So I got the doctor in there, and I said, "I'm Bill's brother, and Bill's kind of simple minded, and I need to know some things. Bill's got lung cancer, yeah." I said, "What's his chances?" He said, "We're gonna beat it. We're gonna beat it. We're gonna attack this. We're gonna attack it. We're gonna throw everything we got at it." I said, "Wait a minute, you're talking about chemo?" He said, "Yeah." I said, All right, what if you don't? What if he don't take chemo? What's gonna happen?" He said, "Within a year he'll be dead." I said, Okay. He's got lung cancer. I said, what if he does take chemo? He said, oh, we're going to attack it. We're going to aggressively, you know, all those things they like to say. We're going to aggressively. And I said, okay, just if he does take it, how much time's he got? If he don't take it. If he takes, he's got a year. If he don't take, he said, maybe 6 months. Maybe 6 months. Now that makes me mad. Why didn't he just walk in there and say, look here, you have terminal lung cancer. And if you want to, we'll fight it. And we might get you 6 more months on planet Earth. We might. Now, he don't know. And I've seen people that he told that live 5 years and not do anything. Why didn't he just tell the truth instead of build up this simple man's hope? Let me tell you something. We'll be willing to tell people the truth that we love and not tiptoe around it. And if I'm going to hell, would you please tell me I'm going to hell? Would you just please be honest and say, son, Bully Fogberry, Priest Fogberry, I'm glad he was a real man of God. He'd look me in the eye and he'd say, son, you're going to die and go to hell? And he told me that over and over and over. I'm glad he didn't pussyfoot around. But he looked me in the eye and said, son, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Amen. And he begged me to get saved. It took 3 years. But I finally received Christ. And, hey, if he hadn't have told me, I don't know if anybody else would have been man enough to tell me. Hell's an awful place. You got driver's license. Good. You got driver's license. Sad. No teenager needs driver's license. If it's a boy, they definitely don't need driver's license. If they get them, give them a moped. But we need to look, just like I looked at my teenager and said, now this is not a toy, this is an automobile. And there's some rules of the road you're going to have to go by or you're going to die. You're going to get killed. And I know by experience, just grace of God, I'm here. Because as a teenager, I had nobody tell me hardly anything. I'm not mad at you. And I'm not mad at you. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to love you enough to tell you the truth and risk losing you. Well, I ain't going back down there. That preacher, all he does is preach on hell. He's preached on hell. 4 sermons he's preached on hell. Maybe it's because I care enough to try to keep you out of hell.
There you go.
In Jude, he says, having compassion on some, making a difference. And he said, pulling them from the fires. You know, some people just about to drop off in hell. And we need to be Christian enough again to grab them. Say, wait a minute, you're going the wrong direction. Let me help you. Let me get you out of here. Come on. Come on over here. Let me talk to you a little bit. You said, preacher, they'll get mad at me. They've been mad at you for other things. And by the way, if they get mad at you for loving them enough to keep them out of hell, maybe they need to get mad. And if they go to hell, they're going to be mad for all eternity anyway.
Yes.
Now, I think our country, if we get back to preaching on hell, our country would turn around. That's the truth. What are the wicked doing? Hey, what are the wicked doing in hell? They're praying, they're crying, they're suffering, they're thirsty, they're heartbroken, they're alone, they're still wicked. And they're mad. They're mad. And it's the only relief they're going to get is when hell, when the world is destroyed and rolled back and melted with a fervent heat and all those people down there in hard earth lifted up into the nothing. We call that heaven. One of the heavens. And they're standing before that great white throne. For just a few minutes, they'll get a glimpse of glory on the other side of that throne. You know what they're going to say, Brother Michael? I know one, the Holy Spirit told me to go see him and told me to go see him when I was a young Christian and told me to go see him. The Holy Spirit convicted me over and over and over and over and over and over. Go see him, go see him, go see him. And I always made excuses for about 18 months. I made excuses. And then one day a guy came up to me and said, "You hear about old Doug?" And I said, "No, what?" Now he'd been bedridden for 3 years from drugs and alcohol and car wrecks. And did you hear about him? I said, "No, what?" And they said, "He died." And for 18 months, the Holy Spirit, every time I went by the road he lived on, convicted me, said, "You need to go see Doug. He's going to hell." And I'd make excuses. Brother Billy, I'd say, he'll laugh at me, because he used to be the cool dude, crazy guy. I said, he'll laugh at me. He'll make fun of me. "Lord, I'll go next week. I don't have strength today." And then I'd go by there next week and the Holy Spirit convict me. And I'd say, "I'll go next week." And I'd go by next week and the Lord convict me. And I'd say, "I'll go next week." And then he finally died. Let me tell you what's going to happen when all that's lifted up and I'm standing behind the throne of God and he's over on the other side and they call out his name and the Bible says the books will be open. And when they get through, if he gets the opportunity to say anything, and I believe he will, he can point right at me and said, "Ron Roddy said he was my friend. And he never told me about this." And the Bible says I'll have his blood on my hands. That'll never happen again. Let's stand. Father, thank you. I don't